I declare in Jesus' name that in 2019, I will see the new that my Father has already begun. I have an anointing to know all things that have been freely given to me and are written in heaven. I choose to set my heart in a place of purity washed by the water of the Word. My eyes are wide open to see and hear the Lord with deeper clarity I have never experienced. I will see and experience heavenly surprises, wondrous works, and marvelous signs from heaven. The Lord will guide me continually, giving me water when I am dry and restoring my strength. I will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. I have received the ministry of reconciliation to rebuild deserted ruins, rebuild walls, and restore homes. I am joyful in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength, my personal bravery, and my invincible army. He makes my feet like hinds' feet and will make me to walk and make spiritual progress upon my high places of trusting, suffering, or responsibility. I acknowledge that in Christ I have received a divine exchange. I have received the nature of Christ and live in a place of divine health, joy, peace, and abundance. He has promised I will enjoy a double share of honor and possess a double portion of prosperity, and everlasting joy is mine. Lord, I have chosen you alone as my inheritance. You are my prize, my pleasure, and my portion. I leave my destiny and its timing in your hands. Your pleasant paths lead me to pleasant places. I'm overwhelmed by the privileges that come with following you. You have given me the best. Amen. Now, this morning, as we go into the Word, you can turn if you would like, although we're going to be all over the place today. I'm going to go ahead and tell you. You can turn to John 12 if you want to. I'm just going to speak to you a little bit about John 12 because that was last week's message. And then we're going to be all over the place. So I'll tell you that scripture first because that's going to be where we start. Holy Spirit. Gospel of John chapter 12. And I'm really not going to teach on that. But that's going to be a launching pad as we taught on it last week. So Father, we thank you for your word. It is true. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Your word, Father, have we hidden in our heart that we might not sin against you. That the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart would always be pleasing, acceptable to you. So, Father, that is why we have gathered together in this place to learn from your word, to learn from your prophets, to learn from your holy, inspired word. Jesus, you have sent us the Holy Spirit. You have prayed to the Father, and he sent us Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you're our guide. Guide us through this teaching today. Guide us through this word today. Holy Spirit, you're the Spirit of truth. You only will speak the truth, and you said you would take the things that the Father has shown the Son, has shown Christ, and you reveal them to us. So we ask you today, we want your teaching today, Holy Spirit. We welcome your teaching. We welcome your anointing. Give us understanding. Grant us revelation, knowledge, and the power to obey what we hear today and to act on it. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a new era. It's a new era. Now, Carmen has shared this word with me, but I always use that as a launching pad. There's a prophet named Hank Kuhneman. I'm going to try to spell his name because I'll misspell it if I do. Kuhneman, she probably could spell it. Well, why don't I make an attempt? Hank, that's easy to spell, H-A-N-K. Kuhneman, K-U-N-M-A-N, maybe something like that. It's a new era. You know that song, it's a new season, it's a new day. I really got I know that meant something whenever it was supposed to be, whatever was that, but I'm not about that song anymore. It's a new season. It's a new day. I'm about it's a new era.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you why I'm about. It's a new era. Glory to God. Okay. Hallelujah. What is an era? First of all, let's define an era. When I say what is an era, the prophet said it's a new era. And as we go on, E-R-A, era, and as we go on, I'm going to tell you what God named this era. But I'm not going to tell you right now because I want to lay a foundation. But I'm going to tell you, and I believe it's going to bless you. If it won't bless you today and give you another weapon to fight with, then God have mercy on us all. Because it will give us another weapon to fight with. Glory to God. The Lord said, if you believe the word of the prophet, let me just go ahead and say that before I go any further. I asked the Lord, been asking the Lord, what does it mean when we say, if you believe the word of the prophet, you shall prosper? What does that mean, Lord? Okay, so I went and I looked up the word prosperity. Okay, it's 2 Chronicles 20:20. 2 Chronicles 20:20. I'm not going to read that. You write it, jot it down. I hope you're taking notes. I'm going to try to compile these for us. I'm going to try to be a good teacher, and compile these notes, because no teacher wants any student left behind. Amen? Amen. It always feels that compassion. 2 Chronicles 20:20. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. Okay, so as I was meditating on it this early this year, I'm like, and even last year, I'm like, believe your prophets, now they'll prosper. Well, what you believe in, you act on. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe there was going to be church here this morning, so I got up and I came. Uh-huh. Okay, so what you believe on, you act on. You believe, what you believe in, you make a decision, you move toward. Okay, now I love it when the Lord tells you something, and then you go look it up, and you see that, wow, I was right on track. You know, I did hear you correctly, Lord. I did hear you correctly. Okay, so I looked up the word prosper. And this is a Hebrew text, of course, because it's 2 Chronicles 20:20. So it's number 6743 in the Strong's Concordance, okay? It means to push forward, to break out, to come mightily, to go over, to be profitable, and to cause to effect. If you believe the word of the prophet, you will push forward in that word. Amen. You will break out in that word. You will come mightily forth in that word. You will go over in that word. You will be profitable in that word, and you will cause an effect. There was something going to happen if you believe that word. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I'm going to preach this again next week because it's going to marinate like wine. It's going to ferment and get better and better. What's an era? So I had to go to the dictionary and look up the word era. Are you ready for this? No, you're not. You're not really ready. But let me tell you, if you don't shout today, don't worry about it. I'm going to shout for you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. An era is an age in history. It's a historical period. So errors are meant for men. They're meant for God. God is. It is his story. God's writing out his story.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Okay. It's an age in history or an historical period. It's a period of time starting from some important or significant happening. An error starts at a point where there's something important or significant happens, and then you go into a new era. Are you getting that? Mm-hmm. There has to be a starting point for a new era. Okay? A period of time starting from some important or significant happening or date. Okay, another definition. The period of time to which anything belongs or is to be assigned. Now, prophetically or spiritually, God's assigned certain things to happen at certain eras and times in life. Are you getting that?
Hallelujah.
Are you getting
Hallelujah.
That? The period of time to which anything belongs or is to be assigned. Every era has an assignment. Something's been assigned for that era by God.
Yes.
So, go to Genesis 1:14. Just to prove to you, which you know I wouldn't, but I need to prove to you, that God has assigned times and seasons for man. Eras are for man. God has assigned certain times and seasons for us, saints of God.
Yes.
There's times and seasons that God has put together an era for us. Genesis 1:14, then God said, let the lights appear in the sky to separate the day from the night. Let them be signs to mark the seasons, days, and years. Mm. Let them be signs. Light is a sign.
Yes.
Light or revelation from God. Glory. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Light or revelation from God gives us the ability to discern the era or the time that we're in. You got to have light. God said, put the light there because they're going to be to mark certain times, seasons, and days and years. Okay? So we got that about era, right? Mm-hmm. You got that about an era. It marks a significance. Something, it's marked by significance of something that happens in history or time that brings you into a new era, a new happening. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the prophet Hank Kuhneman believes the Lord has spoken to him, and I always out of respect say it like that. He believes, that's not to discredit him in any way, but you know, I've been taught that a long time ago, and that is that I believe the Lord is saying.
Yes.
It doesn't make it any more spiritual if I say, thus saith the Lord.
That's right.
Or I believe the Lord is saying. I believe the Lord. And I'm not criticizing anybody that says, thus saith the Lord. I'm just saying, it doesn't make it any more spiritual for me to say, I believe the Lord is saying.
That's right.
I believe the Lord is saying, okay? That's humbling. God blesses that, doesn't he? He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So Hank Kuhneman believes the Lord has spoken to him about this era. He says the Lord spoke to him that at the passing of the former president, George Bush Sr., this new era would begin.
Yes.
Now, I'm not going to tell you what this new era is called. That's at the end. That's the climax. If I can hold out until that long, okay? I'm going to try to hold out. Okay. So, at that time, God marked something new. And not that the prophet needed a man to verify what he was saying, but one of the leading newspapers, I think it's what is it?
New York Times,
I think it was. I think it was, or leading, I don't know, World News Today, or U.S. News, USA Today, I believe it was, said, at the passing of George Bush Sr., a new era begins.
The old era has ended, so a new era begins.
Okay, so let's start at the beginning. Okay, let's start at the beginning. You've got that established about the new era, right? The beginning for us as believers in Christ is not the Garden of Eden. The beginning for us as believers is not the Garden of Eden. I'm going to prove it to you. That's the beginning of humanity. That's the beginning of mankind. Our beginning is in the death and resurrection of Christ. That's where you began. That's where you began.
Hallelujah.
Okay? Okay, John chapter 12, 24. I'm just going to share this. I'm not going to read it. Jesus referred to himself as a single grain of wheat, didn't he?
Yes.
He said, unless the wheat goes into the ground, unless this grain or this seed goes into the ground and does what? Dies. It'll not produce anything. It'll always remain one single seed, right? As long as I keep it in the bag and don't sow it and plant, it always remain what it is, one seed. Nothing. But as long as that seed is willing to die and goes in the ground, then it will produce a great harvest. So Jesus said this about himself. As a single grain of wheat, he must die to produce a great harvest of wheat. All because one grain died, it produced a great rebirth. He is the seed that produced a great rebirth. Okay? Jesus made a decree. In John 12:31, he made a decree. Now, what's a decree and what's a declaration? Well, I wanted to review to make sure I got it right. A decree is, while decrees are speaking out promises that are yet to be manifested. A decree is where you speak out a promise that is yet to be manifested. A declaration, by declarations, are making known what we already have in Christ that has been manifested. Okay, so again, a decree is speaking out a promise that is yet to manifest. Jesus made a decree in John 12:31. Jesus decreed. Okay, and a declaration is what we make known or we say or we make known what we already have in Christ Jesus, what already has been manifested.
Amen.
Okay, yes. Okay, so let's look at this decree Jesus made. John 12:31. From this moment. This is a Passion Translation. Oh, this is so good. This is so good. Jesus in chapter 12 of John, verse 31, he said, from this moment, he's marking something. Do you see that? He's marking an era. Come on now, church. Woo! He's marking an era. What did I tell you an era is? An era is when something significant happens that marks a certain time or period, and it's always marked by something significant or important that happens, then a new era is ushered in. Jesus is making a decree here because it hasn't yet happened. Look at it. From this moment on, everything in this world is about to change. From this moment on, everything in this world is about to change. For the ruler of this world, or you can call him the prince of the world, the prince of this world will be overthrown.
Hallelujah.
Well, let's act like it. Praise God. Hallelujah. It means he'll be driven into exile.
Glory to God.
This is a new era, Satan. Jesus has already marked a new era. You have been driven into exile. No wonder it says resist him and he has to flee.
Yes.
From this moment on, everything in the world is about to change, for the ruler of this world will be overthrown.
Yes.
Hadn't happened yet. He's making a decree. Jesus marked an era. He made a decree and it marked an era. Jesus ushered in a marked change in authority and power. He ushered in a change, a change in rulership of this world. Come on, come on. He established a new world order. Now I'm going to stop. We're going to talk about this. Through his death and resurrection, Christ established a new world order. Now you hear a lot about a new world order. Let me tell you something. The new world order that you hear about in the world today is demonic in nature. Come on, church. Come on, church. God already established a new world order. The kingdoms of this world belong to God and his Christ. You want proof for that?
Yes.
You want proof for that? Okay, turn to Revelation 11. Turn to Revelation 11, 15. Listen. Jesus made a decree. He said, from this moment on, everything in this world is about to change, for the prince of this world has been driven out into exile. That was his decree. You got that?
Mm-hmm.
Now go over and look at the Revelation. Everybody's waiting on the sweet by and by when it's going to happen. It's already happened, y'all. In Revelations, people feel like, you know, in God's eyes, y'all, it's already been fulfilled.
That's right.
We just got some insight to what's already happened. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
We just got some insight here to what's already happened. Okay, so see here we see the angels. Turn to Revelation 11, chapter 15. And y'all know why I got to preach this again.
11:15.
Okay. I'm sorry, I get excited. I apologize. Revelation 11:15. Glory to God. Then the seventh angel sounded his trumpet.
Yes.
An angel is a messenger.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a messenger, you got something to say.
Yes.
Got it?
Yes.
Then the seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and a loud voice broke in heaven, saying, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our God and of his anointed one. And he will reign supreme for an eternity of eternities. The angels were making a declaration of what Jesus already decreed. Don't shout, just sit down and be quiet. Glory to God, hallelujah. Yes. The angels made a declaration of what Christ has already decreed.
Amen. Yes.
The kingdoms of this world have belong to my God and to his Christ.
Amen.
Well, let me read it again. Yes.
And what number angel was it?
The seventh angel.
The seventh one.
Woo! Oh, my God.
Woo!
And the seventh angel sounded his trumpet with a loud voice, broke in heaven, saying, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our God and his anointed one. He will reign supreme for an eternity of eternities.
Yes.
He was just declaring what already happened.
Yes.
He was declaring what Christ had already decreed. So let me talk to you about this new world order. Jesus, God has already established a new world order. And who is the supreme king of this world order? It is Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And when man talks about a new world order, I don't care what man is, talks about a new world, it is the same sin back in the Garden of Eden.
Yes,
it is rebellion against God.
Yes,
and listen, God doesn't have another Christ. God doesn't have another anointing when he's coming to the world to correct the problems in the Garden of Eden. He's already done it.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And that is rebellion against God. God has already established a new world order. And it's in his son, Jesus Christ. Luke 22:16-18. The Last Supper. Hallelujah. The Last Supper. Luke 22, starting at verse 16. I tell you now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. For I will not drink wine again until the kingdom of God has come. He's making a decree. He's telling about something that's going to happen. Verse 20. After supper, he took another cup of wine. Another cup. That's significant. He took another cup. I'm not going to that right now. Well, let's go back to verse 18. For I will not drink wine again until the kingdom of God has come. Verse 20. After supper, he took another cup of wine and said, this is a new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out for a sacrifice for you. He was making a decree of what was going to happen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I want to read something for you. I'm going to read, and this will mean more to us when we do the Seder. When we do the Seder together, this will come alive and mean even more to us. But Jesus is saying, this is my bread. This bread that is broken is my body that's broken for you. This is the blood, my blood that was shed for you. And I am not, Jesus was born of Hebrew descent, right? Jewish, yes. Hebrew, however you want to call it. Everyone knows every good, not being disrespectful to our Lord, but every law abiding Jewish person partook of the Passover meal. So Jesus was not being rebellious. He was not saying, I'm not going to drink of this. And when he said, something's about to happen. I'm going to tell you, something's about to happen. And after this thing happens, I'm going to have the supper again with you. I'm going to eat with you again. I'm going to drink with you again. But it's going to be new then. It's going to be in a new kingdom. After this happens, things are going to change. Things are going to be different. I'm ushering in something new and different. It's a new covenant. Glory to God. See how that's significant. I'm going to read something for you from this book, The Normal Christian Life by Watchman Nee. I'm going to read this for you. Maybe this will help to make it very plain and just add a little bit more flavor to what we're talking about today. God's heart has always been set upon a world system. A universe of his creating. That's right. God's always wanted all men to worship him, right? Is that right? Okay. Which should be headed up in Christ. Christ is the head of God's system. And that scripture reference for you, I'm not going to turn there and read it today, is Colossians 1:6-17. Well, maybe I am, maybe I should, and maybe I will. I will. Colossians, because I need to give you the word for it. Colossians 1:16-17. Colossians 1, verse 16 and 17. You ready? Okay. For in him was created, in Christ was created, the universe of things, both in the heavenly realm and on earth. All that is seen and all that is unseen. Every seat of power, every realm of government, principality and authority, it all exists through him and for his purpose. You got that? He existed before anything else was made.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
That's why he has absolute power and authority. You know why? Because he's the only one that absolute power and authority cannot corrupt. Because he is the incorruptible seed. Have you ever heard that saying, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely? Have you ever heard that saying? Power corrupts. If your heart's not in the right place and you place in a place of power, it will corrupt you. Power corrupts, and absolute power where you have no accountability to anybody else will absolutely ruin your life.
Yes.
Nobody should be in a place where they have absolute power. They don't have to answer to anybody else. Nobody. Nobody except for the Lord Jesus himself. Because he is the incorruptible seed. He has been given, oh, that's fresh revelation. That he has been given absolute power and authority. Because absolute power and authority cannot have the ability to corrupt him.
That's right.
He cannot be corrupted. He can't be bribed. He can't be corrupted. He exists before anything else was made, and now finds, and everything finds completion in him. Everything finds its completion in him. Okay? So he is the one that God has set over God's new, see, new world order is not a bad word. It's not a bad word. It's how people are trying to make it happen when God's already did it. You understand what I'm saying?
It's who says it.
It's the power behind it. Yes, it's what the motive is behind it. And today's new world order is to create one new economic system where every man's like the Tower of Babel again. Where every man, where all human beings are subject to this absolute power. What does absolute power do? It corrupts, absolutely.
It corrupts, that's why.
Okay, okay. So I think you got that picture now. But Satan, working through man's flesh, set up instead a rival system known in Scripture as this world. See, God's initial plan was his creation would be ruled and reigned by Christ Jesus. Everything was made by him and for him and through him, right?
Yes.
Amen. He has absolute power. But Satan, working through man, set up a system called this world. That's right. A system in which we're in the world, but we're not of it, right? We're of a different kingdom, right? And he dominates this. And Jesus called him, he did right there in John 12:31. He said that from this point on, the prince of this world is going to be cast out.
Yes.
Jesus acknowledged it. Even Satan, when he tempted Jesus, he said, all this is mine to give you, bow and worship me. Okay? Right? He's the prince of the world because Adam gave him that authority. Okay, let's go. In Satan's hands, the first creation has become the old creation. This man really blesses me, this writing. In Satan's hand, look, the first creation became the old creation. Are you getting that? Okay, let's keep on going. And God's primary concern was then no longer Then God's primary concern is now no longer with that old creation, but is with a second and a new creation. Making a new creation. The first creation became the old creation. As we go along, if you haven't gotten it yet, hopefully you can get it. Now God puts his attention toward bringing a new creation, which is what we are, who we are in Christ Jesus, right? He is bringing in a new creation, a new kingdom, and a new world. And nothing of the old creation, the old kingdom, or the old world can be transferred into the new.
No.
You cannot make a transfer from the old kingdom into the new kingdom. It won't work. It won't go in there. It won't fit. It won't work. It won't operate.
Yes.
That's why you had to do away with the old to bring in the new. Okay, come on. It is a question now of two rival realms and of which do we belong. Now it's a question of two rival realms. There's the old realm, which is the kingdom, the world of Satan, and there's the new realm, which is the kingdom of God. Now the question is no longer about the two kingdoms. The question is, which kingdom do I belong to? Which kingdom do I have citizenship in? Am I a new creation trying to live in an old?
No.
Won't work. That might be where Jesus said, he said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I knew you not. It could just be, right? It could just be what he was talking about. Let's keep on going. The Apostle Paul, of course, leaves us in no doubt as to which of these two realms is now, in fact, ours. He tells us that God in redemption delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, right? That's Colossians 1, 2, and 3. So let's read that. Colossians 1, verse 12 and 13. I've got to slow down. I'm getting too excited. Okay, Colossians chapter 1, 12 and 13. Your hearts can soar with joyful gratitude when you think of how God made you worthy to receive the glorious inheritance freely given to us by living in the light. He has rescued us completely from the tyrannical rule of darkness. Satan is a tyrant. He has rescued you from the tyrannical rule of darkness and translated you into the kingdom realm of his beloved Son. For in the Son, all of our sins are canceled, and we have the release of redemption through his very blood. Woo! Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
The devil doesn't want you to be happy about that, but go ahead and be happy anyway. Yes. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Our citizenship henceforth is there in the kingdom of God. That's where you abide.
Yes.
That's where you live out of the kingdom of God. But in order to bring us into his new kingdom, God must do something new in us. And I've got to get some air in here. I'm warm. Okay, this is important. And this is going to go into why I asked Tammy to do that song today about the new wine.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And Tammy, all of that today was just wonderful. All that worship today was just wonderful. Okay, where can I open another window without chilling somebody else? That one open? She asked me to go that way. Did you go that way?
Okay.
Hallelujah. 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 Okay. Okay, I'm going to wait till we get that window open so I don't cause any distractions. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Okay. Go fit that one.
Keep conversation down so we can stay focused on what we're doing.
Yes.
This one.
Hallelujah.
That side. Pull that side. Right. Are we focused? We ready to go? Ready? But in order to bring us into this new kingdom, God must do something new in us. He must make of us new creatures.
Yes.
Unless we are created anew, we can never fit into the new realm. Mm-hmm. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Now here are your scripture references for this. I'm not going to read these. It's John 3:6, 1 Corinthians, you can abbreviate that, C-O-R period, 1 Corinthians 15:50. Okay. In order for God to bring us into the new creation, into the new kingdom, he's got to create something new. Something new is the only, a new creation is the only creation that can go into the new kingdom. Old creation cannot inherit the new kingdom of God. It has to be a new creation, and I know this probably sounds very basic, but Let's let it really soak in. That's what God did. That's what Christ ushered in this new era in his resurrection. However educated, however cultured, however improved it be, flesh is still flesh. Our fitness for the new kingdom is determined by the creation to which it belongs. Okay? Are we of the Spirit? Are we born of the Spirit? Then we're the new creation, and we're in the new kingdom. If we're of the flesh, then we're still abiding in the, not that we don't have to battle with stuff, but that's where we're operating from. If that's where all of our operations out of the old, then we haven't yet been changed, and we can't operate in the new because we haven't become the new creation. Okay? Our fitness for the new kingdom is determined by the creation to which we belong. Now look at this. The greatest negative in the universe is the cross. Remember that from math, integers, and algebra? You have a number and you put a 2 in front of what happens? It cancels out all the power in that number. Holy Spirit. Okay. You got the number, okay, in math. Your negatives and your positives.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. You got the number 2, which means 2.
Mm-hmm.
1, 2. But if you put a negative in front of the 2, it wipes it all out.
I got it.
It wipes it all out. It's nothing.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. The greatest negative in the universe is a cross. For with it, God wiped out everything that was not of himself.
Yes.
Ooh. scripture says that he that is in Christ is a new creation. The cross is the greatest. There is not another negative as great as a cross. Because with the cross, he walked. He wiped out everything that was not of himself. Because he laid on him all the sins, all the transgressions, everything. For not only those that had already done it, but those that will do it and would do it.
Praise God.
Why? Because we were in him. Because all things were made by him and for him. We were in him when he was on the cross. We were in him when he was on the cross.
Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God.
The greatest negative in the universe is a cross, for with it God wiped out everything that was not of himself. So if that's the greatest negative in the universe was a cross and his crucifixion, what do you think the greatest positive is?
Resurrection.
His resurrection! Glory to God. Okay. The greatest positive in the universe is the resurrection. For through it, God brought into being all he will have in the new sphere. With the resurrection, God brought in everything he was going to have in the new. Don't shout, church. Everything God, with the resurrection, God brought in everything he was going to have with his new king, his new kingdom. Y'all, it's already happened. With everything. Okay, in his new kingdom, is there going to be sickness? Is there going to be disease? Is there going to be distress? Is there going to be this, that, or what? What is it? Is it? No. In his new kingdom, in the resurrection, he brought in everything that's going to be a part of his new kingdom. It's not waiting for the book of Revelation for it to be fulfilled. He already brought it in.
Yes.
Everything that's a part of the new and the new kingdom. Glory to God. Okay.
Thank you, Jesus.
So the resurrection stands at the threshold of the new creation. It is a blessed thing to see the cross ends all that belongs to the first regime. The cross ended that. Satan, I'm no longer under your tyranny. I'm no longer under your tyranny. The cross that I accepted, that I know him in the fellowship of his sufferings, it has ended. Your regime and my life is ended. I am no longer in that kingdom. So the resurrection stands at the threshold of the new creation. It is a blessed thing to see that the cross ends all that belongs to the first regime, and that the resurrection introduces all that pertains to the second. Everything that had its beginning before resurrection must be wiped out.
Amen.
Everything that had its beginning before the resurrection was wiped out.
Amen.
Resurrection is God's new starting point.
Amen.
That's why Jesus said, from this moment on, everything is about to change. Look. Here's an example for you. I'm probably loud enough that you can hear me. I'm standing up here in the old. Let this be the old. This is where I am. This is what I'm familiar with. This room right here, right? This is what I'm familiar with. Everything in this room, I'm standing here, I can see. Everything, I'm familiar with it. This is my old. This is where I was. Okay. Right here at the threshold is a resurrection.
Right
here at the threshold is a resurrection. It's standing there right there. And when I make the decision to cross over into the resurrection, everything becomes new. Everything becomes new. The old is behind me. I'm not in that place anymore. That's back there. Oh, I wish David was here to hear this, but he's going to hear it because I'm going to preach it again next week. I'm going to preach this thing until it's in all of us. All of us can preach it. I'm going to preach it. Glory to God. Then I stepped into the next. Everything ended back there. Everything ended back there. He wiped it out totally. He wiped it out. He eradicated it totally.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. It's right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The threshold. The threshold is the resurrection is where everything changed.
Glory to God.
And his resurrection, everything.
Glory to
he ushered
God.
In a new era.
Ah,
He ushered in a new era. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 So we're going to talk about a new wine for a new wineskin. We're going to talk about a new wine for a new wineskin. You're a new wineskin. Now I'm going to give you these scripture references and I want you to study them out, okay? We're going to talk some more about this and I'll probably put some more emphasis on this next week. Matthew 9, chapter 9, verse 17. Matthew 9, 17. Mark 2, 22. Matthew 9, 17. I will repeat them. Yes, sir. You got to have new wine. Oh, God, this is so good.
That's why he's making new wine.
But you wait, sis. You haven't heard the half of it yet. You just wait. Don't even try to control yourself over there. Don't even control yourself. Matthew, it's all in the words. You got to look up the words. You got to look up the words. You got to go back and look up the words. Matthew 9, 17. Mark 2, 22. Luke 5, 37. I'll repeat them again. Matthew 9, 17. You know you can abbreviate these names too. It makes it easy for you to... Matthew 9, 17. Oh, that breeze feels so good. Mark 2, 22. Oh, wait, sis. You bubbling now. You are a demonstration of what the new wine does. She's demonstrating what the new wine does. You just wait. You better find a place to hold on. Glory to God. Oh, glory to God.
We worship you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus, we worship you.
Matthew 9:17. Mark 2:22. Luke 5:37. The King James says that no one puts or putteth. Oh, what that word put means. No one, the King James says, nope, Jesus is recording Jesus as saying, no one puts new wine in an old wineskin. Because if you put new wine in an old wineskin, it's going to burst the wineskin, you're going to lose the wine. Oh, glory to God. But you put new wine into a new wineskin. Now the word put, oh, that's a violent word. That's a violent word. From this day forth, I will give it to you again. But Jesus said, from the days of John the Baptist, when John the Baptist came preaching, the kingdom of God has suffered, and the violent take it by force. And the violent take it by force. Let me tell you what the word putteth mean. Put is in the Greek, is number 906. I'll give them to you again, Mama. I know you can. Greek is number 906. That means to throw. More or less violent or intense.
This was my pet name.
What was that?
Put.
Ooh, glory to God. That's prophetic. To throw more or less violent or intense. This putting of this new wine into this wineskin is an intense moment. If something is an intense moment, y'all, if it's intense, you're captivated by it. It's full of power. Oh, my Lord. Help me, Holy Spirit. Help me. Violent or intense compared to another Greek word, number 4496, with the idea of a sudden motion. If he had known, he would not have crucified the Prince of Peace.
They wouldn't do it if they had known.
To throw more or less violent, that's what put means or putteth means, to throw more or less violent or intense compared to 4496, so the idea of a sudden motion. It doesn't, in other words, it doesn't mean a delicate little placement of something. It means with an intense or sudden motion, he has put this new wine into the new wineskin.
Not to care where it lands.
That, not what?
When you throw it, you know.
That's right.
If I put something like this, then I care. But if I throw it.
He thrust it.
Yeah.
He thrust it or he threw it. Glory, that's what the word translates. Let's keep on going.
Think about the clay cabinet.
The clay, okay. Now look at Luke, let's look at Luke 5:38. Jesus said, now look at this.
Okay.
Jesus said in Luke 5:38, oh God. Luke said in 5:38, new wine must always be poured into new wineskin.
Yes.
Always, or putteth. This is a Passion translation I'm reading from right now. New wine must always, emphatic, must always be poured in new wineskin. Verse 39, yet you say, Jesus is to those that he's talking to, yet you say, the old ways are better. Oh, God. The old ways are better, and you refuse to even taste the new wine that I give.
Yeah.
You refuse to even taste the new wine that I bring, Jesus said. Because you say, oh, the old wineskin is better. The old way. And I know that could be those that embrace the law. That can be believers also, even that love the Lord. They always hold on to the old, and they don't want to be the new. God's meant us to be the new wineskin, because the new wineskin can contain the new wine. Okay, the Passion Translation says, you don't put new wine into the old wineskin, because when it ferments, key word, when it ferments, it will burst the old wineskin. The old wineskin can't handle it.
Mm-hmm.
Can't handle the new wine. But you put the new wine into the new wineskin, because when it ferments, the new wineskin can handle the new wine. Okay. Are you ready? So I looked up the word ferment. The word ferment figuratively means, and I know concerning wine what that happens, I know the process, but figuratively it means to be excited, to seethe with agitation or unrest. Do you know why? When you're a new wineskin, and he's put the new wine in you, the new wine is fermenting. The new wine is fermenting in you. The new wine is fermenting in you. And the new wine is meant to do something. It's meant to go through a process when it gets inside of you. It's meant to ferment. It's meant to be agitated or being unrest. You know why? As a true wineskin Christian believer in God, you are not content where you are and where you live. You've got to reach more and higher for God. Because it's that new wine in you ferment. It's that new wine in you ferment. The new wine you have to ferment with the wineskin. Spiritually, what I'm talking about?
Yes.
You know, last week I told you, why was it that you could never give up? You've been through hard times, but why could you never give up and still stand? Because you were born of an incorruptible seed that doesn't have the ability to give up or to go away or to walk away. Well, it's the same thing with the new wineskin. Why is it those of us that have come into the new kingdom and are the new wineskin, we're just not satisfied? Just can't be satisfied with yesterday's bread. Can't be satisfied with yesterday's revelation. Gotta go deeper. It's because the new wine is doing something in you. Glory to God. The new wine in you is fermenting.
Yes.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. And the new wineskin. The new wineskin can contain the fermentation. It contains the wine. But an old wineskin. First revelation. An old wineskin will not appreciate the fermentation process.
No,
it'll burst. It'll just burst and do its own thing. You do its own, go its own way.
Make a mess.
The old wineskin doesn't know the value of the new wine. It can't contain new wine. But when you're a new wineskin and you got that new wine in you, it's fermented. Figuratively, you're becoming agitated. You're in unrest. There's something stirring inside of me. That's why you can't stand when someone uses the name of the Lord God in vain. That's why you can't stand when they misrepresent his word and say, I'm suffering with God. I got this cold and got this cast. Hell no! You're not suffering for God. He already bore that for you.
Right.
You're not God.
Amen.
That's why you become irritated. That's why the word of God says to bear with those that are weaker in the body of Christ. Because inside of you, this wine is forming. And you're like, oh, God, that's not what it says. That's not what it means. But you have to bear with those that have got the new wine, that are still the process of going through the fermenting process. You know what? You know, if I had a bottle of wine, and it sat here for 1 week, versus a bottle that's set there for 5 weeks. This one's already gone through more fermentation than this one is yet to experience. That's why we have to bear with one another in the body of Christ, because this wine over here has been fermented to a lot, to a greater degree that this wine is yet to come into. That's why we have to be patient with those in the body of Christ. Glory to God. Well, I said, as if that wasn't enough, but I said I was going to share with you what Hank Kuhneman said this new era is called. Are you ready for this? Because this is a weapon. I've been fighting with it this week. I've been fighting with it since I heard it, but it came afresh and new because God reminded me that He has spoken to me this before. This new era is called Put It Back. Put it back. In Christ Jesus, God put it back.
Yes.
Do you hear me? Yes. In the resurrection, they're marked a new era. He put it back. So you can say to Satan, whatever he's tried to steal or destroy or take away or hurt anyone that you're praying and interceding for, in Christ Jesus, God has put it back. It has already been put back. I declare what has already been decreed. It has been put back in Christ Jesus. It has been restored. It has been put back together. It has been restored in Christ Jesus. This is a new era where we're not to come out of your mouth and to prophesy out of your mouth. Be put back in the name of Jesus. Be put back in the name of Jesus. That is why God gave us that revelation word for this year.
Yes.
This is a year to rebuild home.
Yes.
This is a year to repair the breach and restore the path to dwelling. God has given us a ministry of reconciliation. Let it come out of your mouth. We put back together. I declare and decree you are put back together. And He goes on to say, the prophet goes on to say, I am God of the universe. I am King of the universe, and I will do it. I will do it because it's a new kingdom. It's a new kingdom. And so you got the new wine in you, and you got the authority with the new wine to speak it. You tell Satan. You tell him. Satan, this is not an old wine. I'm a new wine.
Yes.
And I have a new wine. I'm telling you what you're going to do. You're not telling me what you're going to do. I'm telling you what you're going to do. That's what all we've got.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In Christ Jesus, it already has been put back. But you've got to declare. We've got to declare it like the angels did. Jesus already decreed it. We've got to declare it. We've got to declare it. It is so. He's the God of the universe.
Yes.
And He said, I'm going to do it.
Yes.
I'm the God. Everything's been ripped away from you.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Everything that's been ripped away from you, that's been stolen away from you, it's going to be put back together. It's going to be put back together. It's going to be put back together. Because He is the King.
Yeah.
new wine skin.
Yes.
Woo! I'm filled with a new wine.
Mm.
Woo! This wine is fermenting on the inside of me.
Woo!
Glory to God. And I believe the word of the prophet. And God, you said if I believe the word of the prophet, I would go forward. I would prosper. I would push forward. I would go over. Glory to God. I would effect change. Woo! I'm effecting change. Because I'm the new wineskin with the new wine. And I'm effecting change. Change is here.
You're
thank you, Lord.
You are born of an incorruptible seed that can't give up. And you've been filled with a new wine. And he has made you a new wineskin. And this thing is fermenting inside of you. There's something inside of you that won't rest. It will not rest. For it has it's a good kind of agitation inside of you. Glory to God. It won't rest. It won't give up.
Oh my God.
Glory to God. Until it gets the petition.
Glory to God. Because we've crossed over, we stepped over the threshold into the new life, and everything has changed.
We're in a kingdom where we have power, that we have authority. We tell you, Satan, what you're going to do. You're going to get your hand off every marriage. You're going to get your influence off of every child. Every stronghold, every bondage that you've had a problem, every demonic that you've had where you've tried to affect change, we're going to tell you what we're going to do. In the name of Jesus, you've been defeated. Every principality, every power, every rule of darkness, every stronghold that's trying to build a place in the mind of anyone that is deceived has to be broken. It is broken in the name of Jesus. It is broken in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to tell you how it's going to be. You're not telling us how it's going to be. We're in the new kingdom.
In Jesus' name.
We're in the new kingdom. Hallelujah. The kingdom of this world has now become the kingdom of my God and my Christ. He has anointed me. Glory to God. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. There is no end of his kingdom, of his influence. Glory to God. And he has made me a king with him to rule and reign with him. He has made me a priest. He has made me a priest to minister to God. He has made me a king to make declarations. And I declare what the king of kings has already decreed. This is how it's going to be in the kingdom of God. This is how it's going to be.
Hallelujah.
Today. Oh, Jesus, the darkness has to flee. Darkness for the upright. That your light has come. That they will arise and shine and see the glory of God. Glory to God. It is your mercy, O God. It is your mercy, O God, that causes you to repent. And in the name of the anointing destroys every yoke. That's how it's going to be. The anointing of Christ destroys every yoke. Every yoke. Every bondage. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Every demonic influence has been released from their minds. Their minds are released from wrong thinking. Their minds are released from wrong thinking, God. But you go deep down inside your mind, God. Where no psychiatrist is. But you go deep down inside your mind, God. Glory to God. It's going to be put back. It's going to be put back together because you're the God of the universe and you're going to do this. You're going to do this because you are God of the universe. You are King of the universe. And there's a new king in charge. There's a new regime. There's a new kingdom. And I'm a part of the new kingdom. I'm a new wine. I got new wine in me. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're the God of the universe. You're the King of the universe, and you're going to do it. I'm going to tell you.